the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
And you're welcome back to The Last Word. Well, we had the very sad news earlier on today that Lord Henry Mountcharles, who is best known for staging concerts on the grounds of his home in Slade Castle in Meath, had died at the age of 74. His family said in a statement this morning he had died after a long and valiant battle with cancer. But to look back on an extraordinary life and an extraordinary musical legacy, I'm joined by our own John Cadell and by Lise Hand as well. John, Lise, you're both very welcome to come in. Sadly, it's on an occasion where we lose Lord Henry Mountcharles. But can I just ask you firstly, you met him many times in life. How did this extraordinary figure with his own family background end up becoming a music impresario known around the world to be able to attract these type of mega artists like Bruce Springsteen, the Rolling Stones, R.E.M., Madonna, even Harry Styles in later years?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, it was probably initially a case of needs must, because, you know, when he inherited the, you know, took over the castle, you know, these things don't run themselves and the upkeep does require a certain amount of money. So I think he was looking, casting about for, you know, ideas about how to actually, you know, to supplement his income, literally. And it was Dennis Desmond that suggested maybe that they hold gigs there. And I think it was something that just suited his personality, because he may have been a peer, but he was a real rock and roll like head at his, in his, to his core.
The Marquess Cunningham, he was a noble man.
He really, you know, he had this, and he'd always just sort of call me Henry. You know, he'd never kind of live on the title, and he just loved the madness and the chaos and the music and the bands and the crowd. Like, he really massively enjoyed it. So I think what started off as maybe a financial, you know, exercise turned into a serious labour of love. And I think it was just the setting of the castle as well. It was so unusual. And I think if you look back to Ireland at that time, it was mostly kind of pretty grim venues. Certainly on a larger scale, it was something, you know, unremarkable. And next thing you had this beautiful castle and in a natural amphitheatre and a flowing river and absolutely fantastic. And it very quickly, word went out that this was a special venue. And I think that suddenly tours started going, oh, right, OK, now there is somewhere really cool we can play. It doesn't have to be like a damp racetrack or some kind of, you know, a couple of fields strung together in the middle of nowhere. This was kind of special. So it was a melding of a massive, great personality with a fantastic house, literally.
And John, people take it for granted now they will see the major global acts at Croke Park or the Aviva or in the Phoenix Park or whatever it is around the country. That wasn't the case at the time, and he got artists at the peak of their fame to come here.
Yeah, he did. And like you say, we're spoiled these days. Everybody more or less comes and plays Ireland. But back in 1981, that wasn't the case. If they did play, like Lee said, they were maybe playing sort of third level football stadia. Oh, you say stadia with inverted commas. You know, it was like, there wasn't the quality, classy venues that there is now. And it was testament to the fact that Springsteen came here. Dylan played here. The Stones in 1982, which I think was their first gig here since 1963 in the Adelphi Cinema. That there was something about, we finally had the means to attract these superstars. I mean, I don't know if you know, but Springsteen's biggest ever gig to date was Slane. And it's either before or after the gig, he had a screaming match with his manager saying it's too big. The venue is too big. It was the largest crowd he had ever played to. Queen played in 1986 on only one of, I think, 19 or 20 dates in their farewell tour, obviously after the event, we didn't know then. And everybody who was anybody played Slane. And it was all, I was aware of Slane from the year dot, because it was something magical. It wasn't just another gig. It was Slane Castle. You know, who's playing Slane this year? People still say that. Will there be a Slane this year?
You got to know him a little bit, Lise.
Yes, I did. And I did smile when John talked about the Bruce Springsteen gig, because I went down with a friend of mine and we bunked in through the hole in the hedge, and one of many, which is why the when Bruce Springsteen looked out across the crowd, 65,000 was much more like over 100,000. And I was one of those. But we realised very quickly that there was free drink to be had in the castle. So we skirted the perimeter of the chicken wire fence and we found like a little hole. So we spent about 20 minutes digging the hole to make it larger and we wriggled through. I was a lot skinnier in those days. So we wriggled through and up the hill, snuck up the hill, and the top of the hill with his hands on his hips looking down at us was the sir himself. And he went, "I've been watching you, pair, for the last 10 minutes. So we hung our head in shame and he just reached into his pocket, took out two passes and said, "Three bars up there, fair play to the pair of you." So roll on the next year, and I had actually started working as a rock journalist and I was at the press launch for the Queen gig and I went up and introduced myself and he laughed. He said, "I remember you." 3 days later, an envelope arrived in the Sunday Tribune and out fell two laminates for the castle going, "Save you digging a hole in the fence this time."
Wow.
Now, I tell that story because it's typical of the man. He loved a bit of madness. He was very informal, liked a bit of the rebel in him and really didn't stand on any airs. But it was such a special thing. And don't forget, Ireland was in pretty bad shape around that time. Unemployment was going through the roof. Immigration was going through the roof. There wasn't a huge amount going on. And just Slane brought fairy dust to Ireland. Wow. It really did. And it created so many amazing memories for so many people. And in a way, it's such a beautiful day today. And it is actually almost 30 years to the day since Bruce Springsteen played on the 1st of June, 1995. And I think there's something just fitting that it's such a beautiful day. And there'll be a lot of people sitting around having brilliant memories of all the pleasure they got out of that trip up that windy owl road up, and you could hear the sound check and next thing the whole scene burst on you, the beauty of it and the excitement of it. And I think we all owe him a lot for that.
And the acts moved with the times as well. So you moved from the 1980s into the 90s and all the new superstars who could have bypassed Ireland and gone to play Wembley Arena for 10 nights still came here. Yeah. The likes of R.E.M., the likes of Oasis, the Verve of that moment as well.
Credit for that has to go in part to Dennis Desmond and MCD, because Dennis would have fostered a relationship with these bands when they were nothing. So he would have been behind R.E.M. playing the SFX in 1984 when nobody knew how to spell R.E.M., And then, that relationship continued. And next thing, when it comes to playing Slane, Dennis had an in with all of the biggest bands because he sort of nurtured their Irish careers here. So Lord Henry Mancharles had the perfect venue and Dennis had the contacts. You couldn't fail. But I remember back in, was it 2023 or 22 when Harry played, and all of the men of a certain age going, "Harry's styles at Slane, not in my name." Because it was so raucous.
Yeah, and it was so great to see all the young ones, and their feather boas and all that, and thinking a whole new generation, is now enjoying that, But it is so special. And don't forget, you too have had such a huge relationship with it.
Yeah.
They played, they supported in 1981 as a tiny band, back in absolute, for probably one of the best gigs Slane ever hosted in 2001. And they also recorded Unforgettable Fire there as well.
And it wasn't 2001 the only time a band played Slane twice in the same year?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, there was two gigs another year. Eminem was one of them, but U2 played Saturday, then the following Saturday. And that first U2 Slane gig is memorable because Bono's father had just been buried.
Yeah.
And Bono himself said it was cathartic.
It was extraordinary, yeah. That was the thing. There was just, it was really special. They didn't always go well. They had, there was absolute riots there as well during the Dylan concert. There was something in their infamous wisdom. There was 12 Guardi on duty. But there was about 8,000 people staying in Slane.
Who expects that from a Dylan gig in 84?
No, there were different times.
Yeah.
And, Henry did talk many times about just the tensions around being a peer and being one part of the Anglo-Irish ascendancy at a time when the hunger strikes were on. Mm. And they'd be having, mock funeral corteges would be passing through the Slane village and so on. So, he negotiated and navigated, a slightly culturally tricky path, but did it with just great aplomb.
John, you mentioned some of the great acts and some of the great things. For you, what stood out as the greatest gig of at Slane over those 40-odd years at this stage?
Well, I remember in 1986 desperately wanting to see Queen, but I was just far too young to be allowed to go. I was at the second U2 gig in 2001. You sort of got the feeling that the first gig was the one to be at. The second one was the one that was filmed. I think certainly memorable Bowie's Glass Spider because it sort of fell flat. But I think Guns N' Roses in 1992, 5 year gap, and it was pretty special to see them at their peak.
Lise, apart from the free passes and free alcohol that Lord Henry did give you, what for you stood out as the greatest gig you saw there, whether before you were a famous journalist or when you were sneaking in?
Well, I would have to probably say it was Bruce Springsteen for all the reasons that it was the first time I'd ever seen a gig on that scale. And I was just the sheer wonder of it. And, you know, it was an amazing, he was at the peak of his success. He had sold he was about to sell 30 million copies of Born in the USA. And all seven of his albums were in the UK charts that summer. So, I mean, this guy was a superstar. And again, I think also, like John, I think the U2 gigs, for all the reasons, no more that it also coincided with Ireland beating Holland to qualify for the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they actually televised it live when McAteer scored. And so, again, there was just all that magic. And again, the David Bowie gig was a bit flat. But I think part of it was you just never knew what you were going to get. You know, you never knew. But I think every act that stepped out on that stage sort of rose to it as best they could because they knew they were playing somewhere special.
Yeah. And then we send our condolences to his wife and children. Lord Henry Mount Charles dying today at the age of 74. John Cadell and Lise Hand, thank you very much for joining us.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.